I'd like to call to order the regular meeting in the City Council, City of Shore Acres, Monday, October 14th, 2013, at 7 p.m. First order of business is roll call.
Stephen Jones, present.
Nancy Schnell, present.
Bo Bunker, present.
Matt Weber, present.
Rick Moses, present.
Mike Weaver, present.
And the next item is the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible. Thank you, everybody, and welcome. We don't have any special presentations at this time. The next item on the agenda is 4.0, approval of minutes. If council has had a chance to review item 4.1 on the regular council meeting, September 23, 2013, I'll entertain a motion at this time.
With motion, we approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Not appearing, motion carries.
Second by?
Second was Rick Moses. Section 4.2, Council Workshop Meeting, September 30th, 2013. Entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we approve Council Workshop Meeting dated September 30th, 2013.
Thank you, Nancy. Is there a second?
Second.
Boom. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. And the Special Council Meeting of October 7th, 2013.
Make a motion to approve 4.3 special meeting October 7th.
Thank you, Rick. Is there a second?
Second.
Nancy, thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? If not appearing, the motion carries. Moving us on to 5.0, council reports and requests. Meetings attended. I had the opportunity to meet with the East End Mayor's Meeting, which is a newly formed meeting that the mayor of Deer Park had called together. And the invitation, the invitee list consisted of the mayors of Deer Park, Galena Park, Pasadena, LaPorte, Seabrook. Invited were El Lago, Taylor Lake Village, Shore Acres, I believe I mentioned Seabrook as well. But the mayors in this area or locale, this corridor, to discuss how individually our issues can be a bit challenging. However, collectively, our voice carries much more weight. What we were discussing were things like the Bigger Waters Act and how we can have a bigger impact, or perhaps how we can have a bigger voice in, on issues that impact the area overall. And it was a very interesting meeting. The mayor is elected to make it either a monthly or a bi-monthly meeting to discuss issues that were pertinent to all of the cities. I see that as a great opportunity for us to add our voice into, or at least help them add their voice to any issue that may be relevant to our city, giving us a little bit more weight, if you will. The other meeting attended was the opening of the cruise ship terminal. Here very recently, it was a pretty interesting gathering. They're planning on rolling out the first cruise here within the next couple of weeks. I believe it was the 5th of November. They did give us a brief tour of the inside of the facility. It looks pretty, it's like a cruise ship terminal, ready to do business. Aside from that, I don't have any other meetings that were attended. Are there any questions from council?
Was there anything substantial that came out of the Bigger Waters talk, or
It was the discussion we had was not necessarily how Bigger Waters was going to impact, but rather as an example how we can work together to perhaps when issues such as the Bigger Waters come up, that we have a better plan for voicing our concerns. Are there any other questions from council? I do not believe that I saw a public invitation on that list. I do not know what the parameters are surrounding it, but I do not believe it was public knowledge.
Will you find out and get back to me?
Mm-hmm. Forgive me, I don't write as fast as I speak. Are there any other questions? Very well. Moving on to the next item, 6.0, public hearings and public comments. The first item, 6.1, is public hearing proposed fiscal year 2013-2014 operating budgets. David?
This is just public hearing, so you can announce the public hearing open in the time for comments.
Very well. And we'll open the public hearing for the proposed fiscal year 2013-2014 operating budgets at 7:05. And at this point, we've already presented correct?
This is just for the public.
Very well, very well. So anyone who wishes to address council concerning the budget is now invited to speak. Ms. Bays? Ma'am?
I'm sorry, I thought you would show us the changes from the last meeting to this meeting. Y'all aren't going to present what
It's not a presentation. We certainly discussed that, and it was put on the website on Tuesday following the workshop. I don't know if you had an opportunity to look at that. The changes will be discussed when council takes it up for adoption.
Yes, sir. Victor, 3346 Miramar. Y'all are aware that the city's expenses exceed the city's income by thousands of dollars. And I know you're trying to address it the best you can. And I also know you've been going through several meetings on the topic. And I'm wondering if you all are not reaching a stage of burnout on the topic. And the only thing I would suggest is, if you think you are, maybe you need to say, accept what you have and reconvene the topic, maybe the first of the year. And that's all I have to say at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Stand up. I typed it out because I don't speak very well. So I typed, run a copy for all y'all.
Thank you.
And this is to the mayor and council members. I urge the city council to act responsibly and make major cuts in the proposed 2013-2014 budget. This rate of deficit spending and use of reserves to fund general operating expenses cannot continue. The great majority of the budget funds are personnel. Although no one likes to cut jobs, there is no choice in shortage if we are to remain viable. So far, council's actions have been to raise user fees and other taxes, since Shoreacres already has among the highest utility rates and property taxes in the area. Such actions will make it even more difficult to recruit new residents or increase the livability for existing residents. Shoreacres has many needs, most notably a new water storage facility, continued use of reserves, and increases in utility rates for ongoing expenses will prevent the city from qualifying for debt, financing except at very costly rates, which we cannot afford. For many years, the city of Shoreacres operated with no city administrator and a strong mayor. While this is not meant to be critical of the city administrator, the question is, can we afford it? These are hard decisions. And then you have to start somewhere. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
and walk. Unfortunately, I didn't type up anything. Thank you, John. I will just say that I think probably an answer to Ms. Wells' question, this is the first public hearing I've ever attended where there wasn't a hearing. So just want to say that. But I would urge council to vote against this budget. There's a lot of room that you can make to go yet. Right now, you're proposing to spend roughly $570,000 from the reserve fund. And I know you guys have tried hard. I respect you for that. I just think that there's more that could be done. And I know that we're all homeowners here, so we're not adversaries in that regard. I would just urge you to vote against this budget and try again. Thank you.
Charlotte Wells, 3342 Miramar. I had hoped that y'all would discuss, I have been following this and attending the budget meetings, and I'd hoped that y'all would talk about what exact changes that were made at the last meeting, which I did attend. And I heard a lot of, and then I had some questions afterwards, and I didn't email each person because I thought they would be discussed tonight. So I'm a little disappointed that I'm not hearing at least the last time we had a PowerPoint and we logged through each page of it, page by page, and now we're just going to pass the budget. I'm a little disappointed that we're not looking at the budget and showing the people who weren't in those other meetings what those changes are. Because I had some concerns about when I got home. It's like, oh, wait, what does this mean when you cut $60,000 from this particular thing? What was that intended for, and what are we losing? Because my concern is that I would like to make sure that the citizens are still protected, that we're looking at the health and safety, and that, you know, that's still a main concern. And I know where we are in Miramar, we lose water on a regular basis. It's been better the last month or so, but soon there'll be a month that we'll lose it, you know, several days in a week. Very frustrating. And those are the kinds of things we want to make sure that we have budget to fix those infrastructure problems that we still have. So it's a concern. One of my concerns was in the Public Works Department and where we're cutting. I don't have a problem cutting the truck, you know, vehicles and things like that, but with personnel and qualified personnel, we need people to do that work when it's right. So, and I too would urge you to stay within for me. And thank you for all the work you've done.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Are we going to allow to comment during the discussion of budget items, or is I'm not sure how this is coming about?
Yeah, I'm uncertain as to at what point are you to address questions concerning budget. I do know that we can have back and forth discussion the questions will be opened up to public on the actual agenda item when it comes up. So there is that opportunity to speak whatever's on your mind concerning that particular component. And then David, I need to ask a procedural question of you. On item 6.1, is this then the area where the citizens can ask questions and then council answer concerning the budgetary items?
The way the law is set out, mm-hmm, is that we take the original proposed budget, it's published, notice is published, and they have the opportunity to come and make comments to council. So it's not really a dialogue, it's a public hearing on that budget, mm-hmm, which is not the one that we've twice revised.
Okay.
Then when it comes up on the agenda for adoption of the budget, then you're open to have any discussion that you want to allow.
Very well. So on section 8.3 8.2, we will be talking about the submitted budget, the revised budget, and council will then take action to either consider or do whatever to amend that proposed budget.
Well, we've had numerous workshops where the proposed budget, mm-hmm, has been amended.
Very well.
And so what you have in your packet tonight is the product of all of those amendments.
Very well.
at in that process, council has not voted on any of those amendments. So this is the collection of the amendments to the proposed in the final product. And then tonight, when you take action to adopt a budget, whatever is in or not in the budget is then becomes the final budget.
So it appears then that we will have discussion of the amendments that were made, and citizens will have the opportunity to make comment prior to vote being taken with council's approval. Very well. With that, are there any other members of citizens that would wish to address council concerning item 6.1, the public hearing proposed for the 2013-2014 operating budget? Very well. And at this point, we close out the public hearing. Is that correct?
And, I need the time.
Do we need a motion then, or we just conclude?
Sir. Conclude and give me the time.
Very well. In the public hearing for proposed fiscal year 2013-2014 operating budget is adjourned at 7:16. Now we move into item 6.2, public comments. Anyone who wishes to address council? Yes, sir.
Stan Krause, Governor Pretty Short of Boulevard. I wanted to address council based on the budget situation as far as acknowledging some folks. I'd like to acknowledge the entire council for tackling the difficult job of bringing the city budget into better balance. I agree with what some comments have been that it's not going to be balanced this year, but hopefully it can be in balance in a year or two. In particular, I want to acknowledge two council members. I want to acknowledge Bo Bunker, because he came to the first special meeting and he had prepared pro forma changes to the budget. She had talked to all of the directors of various departments to get had gotten a buy-in on what they could live with and what they could live without, so that everybody, although not happy, would be satisfied with the budget that they came up with. And that was an initial $300,000 savings versus the original budget that we had. So that was a starting point. The second council member I'd like to acknowledge is Nancy Schnell, because I think she showed the most tenacity in trying to reduce the budget. There were some things that the rest of the council was just unwilling to do, unlike some of the citizens who have actually suggested the same things. And I can understand that. We do need to make more cuts in other places, somewhere it won't be so enjoyable. But most of all, I'd like to acknowledge Nancy for allowing me the opportunity of listening to both of those meetings from beginning to end in the comfort of my own study, doing other things while I was listening to it on my PC through the internet. That was a great suggestion, Nancy. And I look forward to not missing any council meetings, whether I leave early or whether I miss them personally at all. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Does anyone else wish to address council this time? Yes, sir.
David Jennings, 17 West Forest Avenue. Real quickly on the agenda tonight, I'm not sure how that you can vote on a budget that has an ordinance later in the meeting with some sort of revenue increase in the water utilities that hasn't been defined. It's in the budget, but it's not defined on the ordinance. You talked about it at your the very last budget meeting, a 5% increase across the board. That is not what's on your agenda tonight. So Mr. Stahl said that it was $24,000 at that particular meeting, but that is not what's on the ordinance tonight. But even that ordinance is after your vote on the budget. So I don't understand how you can do that. That's a separate thing. Chief Massey, and I had occasion today to meet one of the new reserve officers. I just wanted to say they were very professional. Normally I would not be so happy about that, but Officer Ford was very professional. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Jared Victor, 3346 Miramar. I'm not sure how this is going to roll out, so I'm going to speak a little bit about my concerns. I mentioned that our expenses exceed our income quite a bit, and you've made a lot of cuts, mainly equipment and some services. But the bottom line cuts that need to be made, from my viewpoint, from what I've looked at, is in salaries and benefits. And that needs to be looked at. One particular note, I see where we hired a parks person. It looked like a $28,000 roughly salary. And on this proposed budget, you have him automatically, here he's been on the job maybe 6 months, for a salary increase in the range of $36,000 in that neighborhood. Do I need to read this out? You know, are you familiar with that line item? That's just one item. Overall, the budget doesn't really address salaries or control of salaries. It's unfortunate you're here today looking at some problems that were created a couple of years ago. That's when certain salaries jumped and certain positions were added to the staffing. So what am I saying? Our problem, biggest problem right now, is cutting salaries and cutting positions. Now, you're going to need to do it today. You need to program it somewhere down the line. Unless you, as a group, can locate some means to bring in more income to the city. Now, I understand we own some property on the other side of 146. Do we? Anybody aware of that property, or is that?
We do.
No.
Well, that property would be an ideal location for a commercial gas station, accommodation, convenience store, if it's feasible. But we need a source of income from somewhere besides what we have here right now. Even if you added 10 $400,000 houses, it's not going to cover, the tax income will not cover the expenses. So that's pretty much all I have to say. I have sent you individually emails in particular areas and recommending you review those areas, possibly change some of the services. But I can't see where else you can go except to salaries and positions. Now, there's other avenues, but I'm not in a position to bring them up there right now. Because other communities, for example, will hook on to a main city for services, utility services. And you have MUD, you know, municipal utility districts. We talked about water rates. Now, they're right, probably pretty close to the water sewer rates in this area. But if you go out of this area, you go to Houston, right now our average water sewer rate is around 76 per 10,000 gallons. If you go to Houston, it's 97 per 10,000 gallons. I mean, it's significantly higher. And I think we're making a mistake if we just compare LaPorte or compare to one, I don't know, maybe Clear Lake Shores. We need to look a little bit beyond that, because our utility fund is not paying anywhere near what it should be. So
you talked about an increase in that area. Maybe that increase needs to go higher. And I don't know if you need to do it now or wait, have another meeting and address particular items. This is too complicated an issue to just resolve. And although you had about, what, eight meetings? I don't know, six or eight. And I'm sure you're getting burned down about it. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Does anybody else wish to address council at this time? Very well. We'll move on to item 7.0, administrative reports. General activity report, David.
Good evening. I have a few updates for you. Our round two street projects, which are the concrete road projects that are underway, are now scheduled. So round 2.2 is scheduled for substantial completion on October 30th. So they'll be walking the projects, making a punch list, and be wrapping up those concrete street projects. The Better Streets to Neighborhoods project, we did a walkthrough last week on that. I found a couple issues that need to be addressed and some striping that needs to be corrected. That should be happening this week off that punch list. It was a very short punch list. They did a good job. And we'll be through with the Better Streets to Neighborhood on the asphalt overlays. On the round one revisit, where we're taking the funds that we conserved during the construction of the police station and the water plants and sewer plants, we'll be doing Oakdale between Byway and Old 146, and the remainder of Forest, East Forest, between Byway and 146. In that, we got environmental clearance this morning, so that document is complete, which is a good hurdle for us. We also opened bids today at 2 p.m. We had six bids received. They ran in the range from the mid $300,000s to a high bid of $622,000. The low bid, subject to verification and qualification, was Marcon Services. They're the contractor who's done both of the two concrete projects here in the city. They have a competitive advantage, and they don't have a mobilization cost since they've already got equipment here. Their bid was $355,039.40. And, of course, that comes from our community development block grant funds that we got in round one. On the water and sewer projects, specifically the water projects, last Thursday, the engineers and David Sutton did a walkthrough, a substantial completion walkthrough on both of those water plants. The result of that was a six-page punch list with 24 electrical items for water plant one, some of which are fairly significant. 9 electrical items for water plant 2, 11 non-electrical items for water plant 1, and 2 general items. So while it is substantially complete, they still have quite a bit of work to do to bring that through in compliance with the contract. That work is taking place. In general activity comments, West Tower is a sub to T-Mobile. They've been doing a lot of work on the property that we leased to T-Mobile. In that particular lease, we allowed T-Mobile to do sub-leases to bring other carriers and put them on this tower that's here adjacent to Public Works. We were trying to incentivize that so we could get more carriers, so we could improve our telephone service, cell phone service. Verizon is going on that tower. And so a platform deck is being built, and the piers have been going in. And today they started setting steel for that. So here in the next few months, they'll set equipment, and we ought to see improved service for the Verizon carrier in the city. The next item I had here this evening was the National Flood Insurance Program Community Rating System. Our last communication with our CRS specialist was about a month ago when we submitted for additional points in our application. And you'll recall in the utility billing we circulated some flood information to get that additional credit. We'll do that annually now. Today I spoke with Sue Hoffensperger, who is our CRS specialist in Florida. There is no specialist. It's a vacant position in Texas. And so she's doubling up and taking care of Florida and Texas, which are two very heavy load states. She received from FEMA today what they call the first quality review draft, which is a submission of our application and comments back from FEMA. She did not open that package today, and she tells me that it will probably be a couple weeks before she does open the package and start work on that. Typically, that's they call it first review. She'll respond to FEMA's comments and questions on the application that she prepared and sent in based on the material and the application we prepared and sent to her. And so the cycle is in process. We got in time for it to be under the outgoing CRS manual, and so that stands better for us in credit. The next renewal, we'll have to update to the new manual, but that's going to be about 5 years out. So our application is in work and is moving about as fast as one might expect it to move, which is not very fast. When she does open that, we might then get an idea, a preliminary number on what our points are. That's one of the things that FEMA reviews. The application is prepared. The specialist will assign a point value, and the point value is reviewed by the engineers at FEMA, and they don't always agree on the calculation of those points and allow or disallow points. And so we'll have to wait until she sees what's on that package to see where we're at. But I'm confident that we're well within the range of getting a good discount, but it would just be speculation at this point. And that's all I have to report this evening.
Do I have any questions from council at this time?
I have one question. I just want some point of clarification, please, on our community rating system. There was a news report of the visit in September 7th where Kima and Seabrook and Bolivar are already enjoying like 25% discount already this year. So why is it that did they just ignore us? Why are we that far behind?
No, they've been in the program participating for a number of years already. We were not eligible to participate in the program because we did not have a hazard mitigation plan. The opportunity to get in the hazard mitigation plan is on a 5-year cycle. The first opportunity that we had to get that in and get on that, we did. That made us eligible to apply. And so we were held from even applying until we had an approved hazard mitigation plan.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions from council at this time? Any questions from public? Yes, sir.
Victor 3346 Miramar. I'm going back to the city property on the other side of 146. Is that where the sand piles and gravel piles are? Is that our property? No.
It's behind it. It's not accessible. It's right next to the railroad.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other questions at this time? None. Fearing, we'll move to Section 7.2, monthly police department report.
Mayor, Council.
Yes, sir.
You have in your packet the month of September's activity reports. This is my first presentation, but in looking at this, there's one question that I have that I need to follow up on, and what is miscellaneous? I have no clue what that is. But you are the recipients of this report, and I was told that this is what you're given. But I would urge you, for example, in the future, miles driven by the officers internally, that's great. For you, I don't understand what purpose it would serve, essentially. It's just busy work, convoluted. For example, on views, this is pertaining to the officers' daily reports, and on their dailies, they ride by the park, they'll put how many times they drove by. Okay? That really doesn't tell me anything. What I'm concerned with is the end of the shift. Was there any burglaries, criminal mischiefs to that park? I could care less how many times you drive by. Just this follow-up. Other calls for service, there's nothing really important concerning UCR 7, murder, rape, robbery, sexual assault, those kind of things. But in the future, I'd also kind of urge to break down what those calls for service really are. You're very fortunate as a community. Lastly, when it indicates tickets here, that has such a negative connotation with communities. I'm no word merchant, but I would suggest citations, and I would suggest not to provide you with the number of citations that the officers write. As an internal document, that's great because I can use miles driven and other things when I'm conducting investigations, but to give this to you, I don't understand really, and you can clarify for me your need for it, okay? I'd rather give you something, a document that you can use and understand, and not just produce busy work. Tickets as well falls in that citation group. We can debate this at another time, but I think as a city, you're setting yourself up when we provide you the quote number of citations issued, and then there's encouragement to write more citations, that we're setting ourselves up for ticket quotes. You know, I don't want Channel 13 to come here and knock on the door and, is it true? It's kind of like you still beat your wife question, no matter how you answer it. It's not good, and it's not necessary. We should be looking at, we write tickets to change people's, or citations to write, change people's behavior. So there are no accidents on here. So citations reflect, where's your intersections, where's your problem areas, and you really don't have any. So why advertise? And then at the bottom of the report, the commercial vehicle should be removed from there anyway, which will be the next meeting. But if there's something that you'd like to see on here, I'll put it on for you on the next meeting.
Thank you, Chief.
Sir.
Are there any questions from council at this time? Very well. Any questions from the community? If none appearing, we'll move on to Section 7.3, Monthly Public Works Department Report. Mr. Sutton. Good evening, and thank you for coming.
We purchased 8.1 million gallons of water in September compared to 8.2 of the month prior. And water leaks are still playing a big part of this purchase amount. We had 16 water leaks we repaired this month. Three of those water leaks were caused by conflict storm construction. The good part is that part of construction is now over, so we shouldn't have any more issues as far as having to relocate water lines, lower water lines, and sewer lines. We should start to see water leaks come down towards the end of this month with cooler temperatures on the way. That's really all I have for this month.
Any other questions from council at this time? Any questions from citizens? Yes.
Update status report on the water station number one. Is that going online? We look at this almost a year behind schedule now. It will be in December if I look at the original scheduling. I guess the question is really, when are we going to see that back on in operation?
I know they've got 30 days, which you were just speaking about.
They're on punch list. That's the phase
yes.
of the project that
yes.
they're on?
Yes.
So what's the expected completion time frame of punch list?
30 days.
30 days,
yes, sir.
And in 30 days, we can reasonably expect the water plant number one to come online, pending successful completion of all the punch list items?
Well, they have 30 days. But they also will be able to have construction weather days.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what's the for lack of a better term, the drop dead date that they're supposed to have the work completed?
Well, it's 30 days, but they are eligible for extensions for weather and other circumstances. So,
extensions and such. Is that
and that's how we got to where we are now, because as Mr. Victor says, we're past when it originally was contracted for. There was a contract mm-hmm. extension granted through December
mm-hmm.
From the state. Mm-hmm. So. In terms of drop dead and having to get an extension from the state on the contract, it would be December 30th. I will say, though, that when the project is complete and turned on, one of the things that's not complete is the controls.
Mm-hmm.
So there are no pressure controls. The SCADA integrated, which has to integrate the two plants, that has not been even turned on yet to be functional. That will be required for us to do a pressure increase. As soon as it becomes functional, we will likely run 1 or 2 or 3 weeks at the current pressure with the new controls in place, and then we'll bring the pressure up from 50 to 55 psi and run for a couple weeks so that we can evaluate our distribution system and any problems that we have that are pressure related, particularly with our AC pipe or our asbestos concrete pipe. And as those are addressed, if there's no significant problems or there are problems and we address them, mm-hmm. then we will go up to the 60 psi. So it really is going to depend on how our system holds up to the additional pressure. I mean, if it's really horrible when we go to 55, we'll go back to 50 until we can resolve that, and then we'll start over moving up.
So I guess the answer to your question is it's complicated.
That's an answer to the next quick question, probably yes or no. Will the contractor run the equipment during a break-in period, like 30 days? Or when he leaves, are you going to be in charge of it? Or who's going to run that equipment initially?
We'll run it with the contractor.
For a period of time, I guess?
For a very short period of time.
Yes,
it'll be on us to run.
And will it be under warranty at any point in time? And if so, for how long?
1 year.
1 year.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
When you say 30 days, what does that mean? 30 days from 3 weeks ago, the last meeting? 30 days from today?
That punch list was given out last Thursday.
Last Thursday. The 10th, I believe.
And have there been any weather delays incurred between now and then?
I'm not sure that they've performed any work.
No, so they haven't started anything yet, unless they did anything over the weekend, which I wasn't aware of. And so I would say no, they have not even started up yet.
Are there any other questions at this time? If not, Karen, we'll move on to the next item.
Thank you.
Thank you, David. Item 8.0, business. 8.1, consideration and approval of invoices.
Make a motion to approve all invoices.
Thank you, Rick. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mike. All in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? None appearing, the motion carries. Yes, ma'am.
Before we go to 8.2, if there's no objection by other members of council, I suggest that we discuss 8.4 because that amendment will have a direct effect on line item 670 tax 10 in the budget. There's no objection.
If there are no objections from council, do we need to make a motion on that, David? Procedurally?
Mm-hmm. It just requires council approval. If there's no objection, you can do it without objection.
With no objection, we will move item 8.4 to follow item 8.1 for discussion and approval. So, with no objection, Nancy, item 8.4, consideration approval of ordinance 2013-146, amending the city code relating to intercounty expense allowance of mayor and city councilmen.
You know, we all do this for the big bucks, right? So, essentially, what this, instead of just redacting the entire $35 a month to the mayor and $25 stipend for council members, despite the caveat that says that all of that is available to you. The due section shall only be in effect during years when the city's fiscal yearly budget is at or below the city's yearly estimated revenues and that the actual property tax that the city is not raised year over year. And we could include, we have to amend, after estimated in section E, excluding reserves on the revenue. Therefore, more specific and not a moot point. You know, we do spend a lot of time, we use our cell phones a lot, we print out a lot of stuff at home, et cetera. And, you know, this way, this would be like a way for council to sit there and say, look, guys, I mean, it's $1,920, but that's $1,920 that can go towards something. And we don't do this for $25 or $25 respectfully not to do this because we love the city. And that's why I put this in there. And it might not seem like a lot of money, but it's a little bit. You can kind of keep sticking. You can get there.
Thank you, Nancy. One of the things that I'd like to address about this particular change is I admire the drive to save money. However, the changes bring about some concern on my point. And as I read it, Section E makes changes the polarity of the entire sections of the ordinance, A, B, C, and D included. And although I think the intent was to modify or affect only the B and C sections, it also has effect on A and D. The A section specifically stipulates that members of council shall serve without salary. And if you suspend Section A, which is what the change will do, then changes that application. And then it also changes everything else in that section to where there is no more any guidance that says they shall be entitled to reimbursement of expenses incurred in the performance of their official council duties. And then in Section D, the reimbursement of any extra county travel or related expenses for official duty business shall not be precluded by this section. So it changes not only B and C, which I think was the original intent, but it also removes Section A and Section D, which is specific guidance on reimbursement, which becomes incredibly complicated whenever council or anybody should travel or incur expense, whether they be intra or intra county or extra county, but also it opens up the door to provide council with salary. It changes the entire tone of that outline there. So I'm not wanting to bring a problem then without bringing a solution to the table. I would suggest that rather than include the section echo or E, I'm sorry, to include Section E, to either redact or modify Section B and C, or however you intended to modify. But if the intent was to just modify B and C, then I would say without affecting A and D, that you make that modifier to those particular sections as opposed to adding E that has an effect on all sections.
I've got a question for you, ma'am. Because when I first started council, I denied the stipend. Mm-hmm. We're making an ordinance. When I first started, I didn't want us to put it back in the city. Do we have to change and make an ordinance and everything for us just to voluntarily give it back, put it in the city, and just don't do it? I mean, or does this need to be done? Mm-hmm. Now, I just don't know, Nancy's doing it's a good idea, but I mean, if I don't have to do it, I already did it. Why are we doing this?
I'll have to have you sign documents that gives that back. It gets more complicated because it's still a liability of the city, and so I'll have to have you.
Would that be easier than doing what we're doing here, or do we have to do this?
Well, the easiest thing would just be to repeal the whole section, and if the point you want to put it back in, put it back in. But
that's what we had talked about anyway, right? It was just doing away with B and C.
Right, yeah.
To start.
Yeah. Well, let's do it too.
So then first we need to make a motion, and then we need to have a motion to repeal.
Or repeal, or
something like that. Okay.
Okay, then I make a motion to council approve ordinance number 2013-146. Amending intercounty expense allowance of Mayor Councilman.
Second. Okay, Nancy made the motion, and Rick, you seconded?
Yes.
And now I can make a motion to amend,
correct? do we not have to have a vote before we can amend?
No. Okay. No, but she could have also made the amendment in her original motion.
Oh. Yeah, that's kind of nice.
And she can still amend her motion without us going through another cycle.
Which to amend your motion?
I would like to amend my motion then to read that ordinance 2013-146 will be specific to section B and C in section 2-48 intertwining as well.
And that's seconded. We have a motion that's been properly seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? With none appearing, the motion carries. Indeed. All right. Which brings us then to item 8.2 in the agenda, discussion and consideration of action by ordinance number 2013-144 to adopt the general fund and utility fund operating budgets for the fiscal year 2013-2014.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question before we proceed, please.
Certainly, please do.
On, in reference to the revised budget, is that 5% that council discussed across the board, water and sewer increase included in the new numbers we're looking at, even though there has not been any vote nor motion or anything to that effect?
That is correct.
It is included without any action being taken by council.
Well, you're, yes. I mean, there was action taken by council, but there was no vote until tonight.
Okay.
So as presented, it includes the 5% increase.
That was discussed at the last workshop, yes.
Very well. Thank you. And at this point, David, would you go ahead and outline the modifications that were made to the as of the last workshop?
Okay. I'll hit the high points of changes between the proposed budget that was published and advertised and what we have tonight. The property tax has been reduced. The revenue has been reduced to reflect staying at 84.4381 cents per $100 valuation. That's below the effective tax rate. It's the same rate that was adopted last year. whereas the prior budget had it at the effective rate, which was a 0% increase, so this actually represents a decrease in property tax. There is a reduction in the miscellaneous revenues, other income, line item 4090. That was for the sale of surplus police vehicles. So there will be no revenue from that as those vehicles are not sold as proposed in this revised budget.
David, I need to interrupt you for just a moment. Without objection, with no objection from council, is it all right if we allow the chief and Mr. Sutton to leave if they so confused?
Oh, yes.
Thank you all very much. David, thank you for...
Me too. Can I go? All right. Continuing on. The transfers are substantially reduced in the contribution, particularly from general fund reserve, I believe by about half. The personnel wages in all departments and all funds are reduced, as are the ripple effects of Social Security and retirement costs, because the 2% cost of living increase that was applying to all employees except for the city administrator has been removed, and so there are no cost of living increases in the revised budget that you have this evening. There was an adjustment in the TMRS retirement, which was strictly an accounting adjustment for the new rate, which slightly decreased the retirement withholdings. There was a reduction in office equipment in the administration department. There was a reduction of salaries in administration over the course of removing an additional clerk position that was unfilled. Outside services was significantly decreased down to $10,000. Legal fees were reduced to $10,000. All of those are in general fund administrative on GF4. In municipal court, the judge's retainer was reduced, as well as the same cost of living increases not applying to the police department. We have a part-time commercial vehicle enforcement officer that was already removed, and there's an additional officer removed. A full-time officer was removed from the police department. The office supplies in the police department was reduced. The building maintenance was reduced. The small equipment was significantly reduced for the amount for equipment for two new police vehicles, which will not be purchased in this budget. The airtime, radio airtime, was reduced in the police budget. The contingency in the police department budget was removed entirely. And capital outlays on GF7 of the police department, the purchase of two police vehicles was removed entirely. In the parks department, GF8, there were reductions in maintenance, general supplies. The largest was a reduction of I don't recall if it was $6,000 or $8,000. I think $8,000 for fall zone. In public works on GF9, we had reduction in a couple supply line items. We had a reduction in signs. We had a reduction in road repair and maintenance. We had a reduction in storm drainage maintenance. We had a reduction in engineering fees. We had a reduction through two workshops. We made two reductions, going from $20,000 on facilities for the yard, putting a surface in the yard, from $20,000 to $10,000 to now $5,100. We have utility fund revenue. Utility fund revenue, the water and sewer, reflects a 5% increase of revenue. To answer Mr. Jennings' question, all revenues are a projection. It would be incumbent on council, if we're going to miss those projections, to adjust rates, fees to reach that. Water department personnel also, the same reductions for cost of living. Supplies in the water department were significantly reduced down to $45,000. Engineering fees in the water department were reduced. Water contingency was reduced. Water facility distribution was reduced, although the number is larger than what was in the projected the year-end number rolled forward. So there is, last year we had a project for byway that was unexpended funds which come forward into this budget. We had $140,000 in last year's budget. $121,000 come forward. So it is a reduction in that project cost, plus $75,000 for water distribution, which was a reduction from the $150,000 that was in the proposed budget. I know that's rather confusing, but it does represent a $75,000 reduction in this new budget, and it represents a $39,000 reduction in anticipated spending in last year's budget. In the sewer department, there was a reduction, a small reduction in contingency, a reduction in engineering fees, and in trash collection, I believe the original had the general supplies removed, and that's reflected here as well. There was one additional cost. It was a swap. But all those happened during the workshop. So that, and I'm saying that in case you think I missed it, it was taken out and put back in during the course of our workshop, so it was not reflected in what was published for the public.
That was for the
software.
Oh,
yes, sir.
Thank you. Any discussion or questions from council at this time?
Yeah. Same question.
Yes, sir.
More of a clarification, just wanting to see the high level. We've got two water projects, two lines that we're working. That's going to cost how much for those two? 75 plus 121?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And 186,000. 196. Where does that show up? How is that reflected? Those are coming out, in essence, from the general fund reserves. Is there a way of looking at it like that?
Anything short of the revenues that you generate during the course of this year, projected revenues, is all reserve, is playing against reserve. Yes, sir.
So it's, and these lines are a one-time fee. We're not, it's not recurring revenue, so it's a one-time purchase. With this money pulled out as proposed, what remains in our reserves, and how many months of operation would it come for the city?
In terms of operational expense, more than 6 months. I'd have to calculate, because if you look at what our budget is, it would be 6 months at budget, but budget includes capital purchases, which would not be considered in what your operational reserve is. So that calculation would need to be required, but it's more than
the high end of the recommended 6 months.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions from council at this time? Not appearing, we'll open the session up to the public. Are there any questions from the public at this time? Yes, ma'am.
I'm just going to say that the vote no on this budget doesn't reflect the deficit. We can't operate in a deficit budget, and we have no means of additional revenue. If we're expected to pay a little bit more in water, then there needs to be some cuts. I opposed 2 years ago the pay increases back then. I don't have a personal vendetta against anybody, so we are a small town and we cannot afford to be selling.
Thank you. Does anybody else wish to address council? Yes, sir.
He was. I just had a quick question. I haven't actually looked at all the individual numbers. What is the deficit of the current budget?
Almost
600,000.
Basically, $4.5 is coming out.
If we spent everything that's budgeted, which is not plausible. And we, our revenues didn't exceed, were exactly as were projected. The deficit would be $568,657.54.
Jerry, what do we do next?
Jerry Victor, 3346, Miramar. You did a really good job on addressing equipment and services. What's left is personnel, staffing. I would urge you to treat that as a separate issue. That may be the first part of the year. Look at it again. Look at your staffing and see where that money is going and see if you need to make cuts. If you do, consider making cuts in personnel and salaries. So really, this encourages you to split it up. There's too much at one time you're trying to deal with. You already dealt with the services and the equipment. Now you've got the staffing to look at. And I encourage you to look at that first part of the year. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Are there any others? Yes, sir.
Steven Jennings, 1017 West 4th Avenue. Mr. Stahl said earlier, just a few months ago actually, that the budget that you're voting on has 5% water across the board that is not budgeted for. He said, you know, I don't know how you vote on that, knowing that it's not budgeted. Mr. Stahl just said that if we spent what's budgeted, which is not plausible, then why budget it? If it's not plausible, then why budget it? It just simply doesn't make sense. To answer Mr. Jones's question, the reserve fund right now is about $950,000, roughly, $948,952, depending on who you ask. The deficit spending this year is $568,000, as Mr. Stahl said. The difference is $380,000. That is not 6 months worth of revenue. I'm sorry, it just isn't. So I don't know how you can vote for this budget. I agree with Mr. Victor that you've worked hard and you've made some cuts that were necessary. Only two of you were part of the council that put you in this bind. But I just have to ask you again to vote against it. And strictly as a property owner and knowing the value of the city, properties will be reduced. And then there is no increase in property tax revenue in sight. And so I know it's hard to cut personnel salaries, cut something, but those things, you know, that's what you signed up for, guys. That's all I can tell you. And so thank you for your effort, and then I hope you vote against this particular thing.
Thanks, sir.
Ron Hoskins, 4ABC Road.
Yeah, the budget cuts were great. We cut, you know, a lot of vehicles and so forth. But, you know, we can't not buy police cars forever. It's a very temporary band-aid. We're going to need one next year, so we're going to have to cut somewhere else. So while that temporary band-aid that you placed on the city's issues sound good for a short amount of time, we are going to need more vehicles at some point. Or we go buy some. But I would not vote in favor of this budget. It just doesn't go far enough. It doesn't go long enough. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Have any other folks who wish to address council at this time? Another hearing?
Yes. David, I know when we were on the budget meeting, the last one, when we talked about salaries before, we had estimated one of them. What was the savings to eliminate one position? Wasn't it somewhere, you remember, it was somewhere, what, $38,000?
Yeah, for a public works position. Yeah.
So, say a public works, so it would have been just, well, $38,000.
Yes, sir.
Thanks.
If there's no other discussion, we'll entertain a motion at this time.
actually a point of clarification on that. Public Works, maintenance, any of those, you're looking at total compensation, 45,000,
56,000, 70,000, 60,000,
so it's that's your total compensation
if you eliminate
the entire position.
So, for one perks per people,
for
I thought it insurance all for one.
A little over
60,000. For one individual.
There are no other questions at this time. We'll entertain a motion.
I do have one question.
Yes, sir.
I need to better understand the 568K deficit when transfers from those other funds are 316. Yeah. 316,000. First question.
That is the both the contribution from the general fund and the utility fund. The utility fund being the larger, $394,902. And the public and the general fund is the $142,528. And I would point out there's $201,000 in capital expenditures in the budget, which would net that number out not quite half. If you back those capital out, it'd be 367. Today is the deadline on, effectively, because we're past the publishing, to adopt a tax rate. You can't adopt a tax rate until you've adopted a budget.
Okay. But the ramifications are to not doing that tonight.
The ramifications are that your tax rate would be set for you. And it would be the effective tax rate or last year's rate. I believe it's whichever is lower. I have to look at the calculations to see what the assessor collector calculated. But it would go to a predetermined rate, a default rate, and you wouldn't have control over setting what the tax rate is. It would go to that rate.
Is that 0.84 that we...
I would have to go upstairs and get the calculations from the tax assessor collector and see what they had calculated the rate would then go to. But we're presently holding up the city of LaPorte from issuing their tax bills because they do it all on a run with us and their other entities, and those go in the mail on Friday of this week.
We voted no to this tonight. The ramifications are
that we can't set a tax rate tonight.
There was no motion at this time.
I make a motion we adopt ordinance 2013-144, adoption of the budget for fiscal year 2013-2014.
Is there a second?
I'm going
to second it. The motion has been properly seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed.
And as is your right, you have the option to voice your dissenting vote. Yes, ma'am.
Multitude of reasons. First of all, I think this is good. I'd like to commend council, though. We did a lot of tournaments, and we worked hard. And I know everybody took it very seriously. When it came down to the real brass tacks of it, you know, we weren't able to make near the dent. You know, being a type A general law city, the maximum that we're allowed to tax our citizens from the property tax is $1.50 for $100 in valuation. So if we were to change from the 84 cents that we're doing now to the maximum, that would only generate an extra $597,000 in revenue. So we'd barely be in the black. I don't want mine to go. I'm sure my family members are going to get $1 for every $4.50 coming out of our savings. Can't run my house like that. I don't want to work for a business that runs like that because we're not going to be in business anymore. And this is just a bad deal. You know, I had a problem with this 2 years ago. And this is just, you know, people, and I understand this, this does not happen overnight. It did not. But we don't have 6 years to fix it. We don't have the funds or the revenue to fix. We can't fix 6 years. So I cannot in good conscience vote the city to bankruptcy and I refuse to do that.
Thank you, ma'am. Moving on to the next item, 8.3, consideration and action to adopt ordinance number 2013-145, establishing the 2013 property tax rate for the city of Thor Acres. The ordinance establishing a tax rate of 0.844381 per 100 valuation for fiscal year 2013-2014. At this time, we entertain questions or comments from council. If they're not appearing, we'll entertain questions or comments from citizens. Yes, sir.
Jerry Victor, 3246 Miramar. Okay, by not adopting the effective rate, we're losing $60,000 for next year. If I looked at the numbers right. The effective rate goes up to what, 8.8, I forget, 8.488, whatever it is. A good portion of the citizens in this city realized a devaluing of their property. Am I right or wrong? I understand that a good portion of this housing lost value, so the taxes that they pay, if it was at the 0.84 level, would be less than it was last year. So I'm just throwing this out there. You'll be losing $60,000 in revenue if you don't go with the effective rate. And I'm not a big proponent of that, but because it's going to affect me personally, the value of my house went up, whereas a couple of houses inshore, the value of their property went down. So they're probably going to pay the same amount of taxes if you went with the effective rate. All I'm asking you is consider that. You're losing $60,000 by not going with the effective rate.
Thanks, sir. Are there any other questions?
Steve Jennings, 6000 West 40. The actual amount is $42,000. The council has already adopted the 844381 at a previous budget workshop. If you want to adopt a higher rate, you're going to have another meeting to do that. As we've seen tonight, not willing to do that. At the budget, I can't imagine if people do that to raise taxes or people like me who's on these could not. So I would hope not. The council doesn't have the fortitude to that. Businesses further. I hope you don't have the fortitude to raise taxes. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Are there any other comments at this time? Not appearing, we'll entertain a motion.
Motion to adopt ordinance number 2013-145, establishing the 2013 property tax rate for the city of Shortlands.
Second.
Mike, thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda, as we skip over 8.4, as that was already taken care of, item 8.5, consideration and approval of ordinance number 2013-147, amending the city code related to rates and changes for water and sewer services. Nancy?
All right, now
that's going
to be confusing. More so than 5% are deducted in. Okay. If you look at the first page here, it's based on the sewer service bill in 2013. And we know that when you divide out the sewer sales, the 1750, that tells you the basic number of meters based on the sewer. Now, there are several meters that do not have sewer, for example, at the state pier, the yacht club, because it goes in the drink, so it doesn't really matter. And if you transversely look at the water sales, it's very interesting to note that our cost of water, the percentage of our sales, is over 50%. That's not exactly a good deal. The way that our scheduling is set up now is that the first 3,000 gallons of water goes through your cost per liter, $14.50. And then you start paying thereafter that 3,000. Now, what I originally proposed in 8.5 was to keep it at $14.50 for the first 2,000 gallons, which is a lot more in sync with general in the great state of Texas and in this area specifically. I didn't get any kind of hate mail. No one threatened to burn my house down or anything. But once I started thinking about it, I think the more reasonable and fair way to do this is basically if you use, you pay. Why should a single person or some of our seniors that, you know, they don't sit there, they may wash one load of clothes a week or whatever, whereas, you know, when you've got, you know, a family, there's a lot of water consumption going on. So what I would really like you to do is look on the second page, if you convert that to $11 for the first 2,000 gallons. And I still don't know how the average water meter in the city is, 6,331 gallons, but that's what the average works out to be when you do your math. Then that would actually give a discount to these folks that don't use that much water. But I mean, it would almost be impossible in my household not to use 2,000 gallons of water. I mean, it's kind of like take a shower once a month, whether you need it or not. But you're going to be looking at an increase, then you're going to have $11 for that first 2,000 gallons, and then $6 per 1,000 thereafter. And if you look at what the average monthly is, the new cost would be $25.99, which, and that's just water. Then when you look at the, and then you add on to that, your $17.53 sewer. Now the other proponent to this is $1.10 for additional sewer revenue per 1,000 gallons after 5,000 gallons. There's no point in setting it 2,000. That way, if you're watering your lawn, it's not going into the sewer, per se. So that gives people, they can water. But then if you're going up to the 5,000, you're looking at an increase. If you look at this average of the 6,331, not everybody uses that much. But you'd be looking at an additional $16,559 in sewer revenue based on what the averages are here, on top of $18,918.16 for water. That's a 7.3% increase on the water side. So it seems, if y'all want to like look at this, and we can talk about this next time, because now I've almost gotten myself confused because I've got a headache at this point in time. But this is actually going to bring in more revenue, and it's going to be more fair because it gives. I don't think that, you know, a widow or a widower or a single person needs to sit there and supplement with a 5% across the board water and sewer increase. I don't think they need to be supplementing people that, you know, fill their swimming pools up every 3 days. I don't think that that should fall on their back. I think that this is, you use, you buy it. And guess what? If you can't afford it, then you're going to restrict yourself. Whereas if you got a 5% across the board, it's kind of a stuck. So this was just, instead of the 1450, because yes, that revenue would be nice, but that's kind of two at once. But this would be actually end up being more beneficial on the revenue side, but it's also a lot more fair, and it's a lot more physically responsible and conservative. And people will adjust. Anyway, if this is confusing, if y'all want to wait until next week, I'm good with that. But I really do think that this is a better, more fair way of handling, trying to do something with this utility fund that is just one a month. And
I
okay.
Is there any discussion from council at this time? Questions, concerns?
Confused to ask a question.
In the workshop, we discussed a 5% increase in revenue. That did not address what the application of that would be to get to the 5%. That could be done in the upper tiers. That could be done across the board. It wouldn't necessarily impact. I would bring to your attention that reducing the first 3,000 down to the first 2,000 would mean that a single person household that works hard to keep their consumption under 3,000, as soon as they hit 2,001 on the water rate alone, they'll see an 18.75% increase in their bill. At those who are at the lowest end trying to conserve the most, there are, so I just offer that as there are other ways to get to the 5% or whatever percentage you want, and at the same time those that are on fixed income and work hard to keep under the 3,000 and not adversely impacted.
The majority of cities around is the first 2,000.
That's yeah. Correct. That is correct.
And that is just another example. And I don't like doing this vote, but this utility fund has been losing money for a long time. Yes, we did go in to help folks out after the hurricane for a long time, but we've got awfully expensive water as far as the city side, our personal side, is kind of ridiculous, but this is something people actually do have a bit of control over, and I mean, maybe they'll get a shell shock and have an 18% 1 month and go, maybe I'll just run a larger wash of clothes once instead of doing several small ones. You know, that's individual decision, individual choice. But I just wanted to throw this out here as an alternative to across the board increase on the amount.
Is there any other further discussion from council at this time? Hearings or open up comments to the public. Does anybody have any questions or concerns?
I was Jerry Victor, three places.
Yes, sir.
I looked at the numbers and there's data available, but they compare it by for 10,000 gallons of consumption. So using the information that's in this ordinance, it would appear by my calculation, if you use 10,000 gallons, the fee for sewer and water would be $76.75. If you went to some other cities, there's a summary, if you went to Houston, that same amount would be $97.41. Of course, you went to Nassau Bay, it would be $77. If you went to Webster, it'd be 66. What I'm saying is that number that you have is not unreasonable in comparison to other communities in this general area. Now, it's not going to make a big difference in our utility fund. It'll help chip away at the deficit, but the deficit's so large, probably need to go elsewhere to chip away at that deficit. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions at this time?
Did I hear, I know we can't talk back and forth, but to the mayor, did I hear that the net increase of this would be $34,000 versus Mr. Stahl's 24,000 to 5% straight across the board?
I don't understand the total.
I believe it was 16,000.
Yeah, I think Nancy probably could answer that one a little better. You did the calculations, right?
Yes, it would be on the water side, it'd be a 7.3 average increase, which would be $18,980.15. Now, that is if 100% of the meters were affected, which probably about 90 will be, about 90%. And then on the sewer side, you'd be looking at about $16,000.
Okay, so speaking again to the mayor, not to the alderman, an extra $10,000 versus the original thing. I calculated my bill. I have one of the higher water bills in the city. I think I talked to Ann up there a lot. So mine will go up substantially, about 23%. But I'm okay with that. I think this is, I've reviewed it several days now, and it's a pretty good proposal, actually. Even though, in this case, I have to pay more, which you're not used to hearing. So.
Thanks, sir. Are there any other questions at this time? Not appearing. Does council wish to take action?
I would just like to hear from council. Do y'all think that, I think that the $11 is a lot more fair, 11 for the first 2,000.
Sorry, this shows 14.5 on that.
Well, that's the first $2,000 on the. She's on the. Oh, okay. I apologize. The $11 is that for the 2,000 of water usage, right?
The first 2,000 gallons, and then it's $6 per 1,000 gallons thereafter. And then if you utilize 5,000 gallons, then it's $1.10 additional for your sewer, which is $17.50. It's $1.10 additional per 1,000 gallons thereafter. And if you look at the average water usage per meter per month,
$6,300. So are you changing the base rate in the ordinance that you sent to me?
That's the question I can have as well.
Well, and that's yes. I'd like to change that to $11 rather than $14.
But you're going.
But if y'all want to look over these numbers some more, we can discuss this next meeting. I'm fine with that.
It's kind of confusing. This is kind of what you'd like to do. I mean, I could live in five different houses, and you would think I'd have a reasonable water bill. So, economy of scale, I think you would think no water bill.
So, you want to take another shot at it at the next meeting?
Yes.
Yes, I think. Do we need a motion to adjourn since as we took an action on 8.5?
Yes.
Then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn at this time. Make a motion to adjourn. Have a motion to adjourn. For a second.
Okay.
Rick and Bill, all those in favor?
All right.
All those opposed? None carrying. Motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you everyone for coming. Appreciate it very much. Appreciate all y'all input. Thank you very much.